from the Word of God that can be used as you as the Holy Ghost inspires you to use it. So be a master of the Bible. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Don't waste time. Time is important. You need to learn how to use your time well. You only have a certain amount of time. Somebody says, I have more time than money. No, you don't. Time is gone. It's gone forever. You cannot relive it. It's forever gone. It's forever gone. That minute, that moment, that hour, that day, that week is forever gone. It should be used wisely. That doesn't mean you're to be a workaholic and spend 24 hours a day at work with your nose to the grindstone. Jesus told his disciples, come aside and rest a while. And there's times that need that you need to rest. There are times you need to relax. At times you need to take off. And the people need to understand that you cannot be on the go all the time. At the same time, you want to let them know that you love them and are available to them 24 hours a day in emergencies. But don't let it be like one lady, and this is true. I'm telling you the truth. You may not think so, but it's true. A lady called me at 2:30 in the morning, woke me up out of a sound sleep. Said, Brother Gray, and she was really irritated. She said, Brother Gray, you've got to take care of Sister So-and-so. She knows that if she wakes me up in the middle of the night, I can't go back to sleep. And she just called me. Well, that actually happened. 2:30 in the morning. Woke me up out of sound sleep to tell me I had to take care of Sister So-and-so. Well, we have all kinds. And the Bible says comfort the feeble-minded. Hallelujah. It's in your Bible, too, so you have to have patience, don't you? Amen. All right. So, don't waste time. That's what we're talking about. Learn how to use your time and try to get the people to understand that if it isn't an emergency, it's better not to call you at the wrong hours. You need to have time for study and prayer and relaxation time with your family. Those are things that I say. If it's an emergency, be always available. But if it is not an emergency and something that's urgent, try to help them to understand that if they can put it off until better hours, to try to remember to do that, be thoughtful. But don't make it a rule that they can't call you. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. And that's important. Don't put off or let things pile up. Some of us are apt to be procrastinators. We let things pile up. We let things, and you'll find out that when you do that, you have today's work and yesterday's work both to do, and you won't find yourself able to do it. So you'll always be behind because you can only do one day's work at a time. And if you let it pile up 2 or 3 days' work, you'll always be 2 or 3 days behind the schedule. And that's not good to be continually in that sort of a thing. You have to learn how to handle your mail, without going through every piece. Take and learn how to throw trash away, you know, before you even bother to look at it. And things of that nature, but don't throw important things away like letters from headquarters. Yeah, that's right. And I've heard some that did that, but it thought away. But Williams said, that's right, that was their excuse, anyhow. All right. Amen. All right, let's constructively examine ourselves. When I say constructively, I believe there's such thing as constructive criticism. There's such thing as destructive criticism, constantly trying to find fault. That is not the way to go, but it is destructive criticism. By the way, in your ministry, try not to become a nagger or a scold. Continually nagging, scolding. Try to avoid that. Instead, lay down certain principles and give people inspiration to do what they ought to do. Lay down certain scriptural principles and inspire them to do it. See, but to continually scold and nag, you become boring and people turn you off. They'd like to get a hearing aid and turn it right off. That's right. So you do have to be careful in those areas. You want to do this. You want to correct the people and get them straightened out. Sometimes it's better to try to inspire them and talk to them one side personally to an individual and say, I am concerned about you because I know God's hand is on your life. And I want to see you at your very best. And I know you're having some problems. Is there any way I can help you? See, they will love you because you're concerned about them personally. They will love you because you are interested in them. They will love you because you take time for them personally. You're not there just lashing out at them, scolding them, trying to whip them into line. You're not. That's not the way to do it. There are other ways that are better. All right, so constructively examine yourself. Are my messages sound and clear and convincing and persuasive? Am I losing out with God myself as I proclaim Christ to others? Now, we're not automatically saved because we're preachers. We're not automatically saved because we're preachers. We can preach and still lose out with God in our personal life. Be involved in the work of God and lose our spiritual tone and touch and sensitivity to the things of God. We need to keep sensitive. If the safe crackers will sandpaper the tips of their fingers so that when they turn the dial on that safe, they can feel the tumblers falling into place, then we need to hone our spiritual faculties just like that. Because God has given us certain spiritual faculties. And in doing so, we are training ourselves to be sensitive to the things of God. Amen. So it takes that. Believe me, it does. Another thing I might just add in here, and these things keep flooding to me as I go along. But I've heard this, that the way that the government teaches people to detect good counterfeit money. I say good counterfeit money, it means that is so almost exactly like the original good, it's almost impossible to detect. There's a way they do it. And it is not by having them examine that counterfeit money. It's not that way at all. It is by passing the good money through their fingers continuously. Over and over and over again, passes through their fingers, and then eventually adding one of those, and as it comes, they sense something. They may not be able to explain it, but they sense there's something wrong here. I don't know. Well, what is it? I really don't know, but there's something that's just not right about this one. It's not because they are studying the false all the time, but it's because they're studying the true. And when the false comes, they instantly detect it. There's something not right about this. So you have to fill yourself with the good word of God, not continually read about Armstrong and all these other fellows and the false teachings and fill yourself full of that, although I suppose it's all right to do, but so much better to fill yourself with the word of God. And when the false comes, and it'll come in a guise that you may not recognize as false, like you do recognize these others, it'll come instantly. Something's wrong here. Something's just not right here. You can sense it. Amen. I believe we should be spiritually sensitive and ask God to help us in that area. All right. So examine yourselves. Do I preach to others certain requirements and fail to do them myself? Brother, that is something that we need to keep in mind. If you preach that others should pray, do you pray? If you teach that others should fast, do you fast? If you teach that others should be honest, are you scrupulously honest? See, those are things that we need to always keep in mind. Is your heart, and by the way, you should always require more of yourself than you do the people. Amen. I said, require more of yourself than you do the people. There are some things I do not preach very much that I require of myself. I do not require of my people, but I do require of myself. I feel that I need to be disciplined. I need to come in under a discipline. And it may not be a matter of right and wrong, but it may be a matter of bringing myself under. And we need to understand that we need to keep ourselves under, keep that old nature under, amen, and require certain things of ourselves that we do not always preach to others. Is your heart in your ministry? If not, your spiritual force, your vigor, and zeal will be affected. Let your mistakes, and you will make them, and I made, I suppose, hundreds of them. Let your mistakes be building blocks, stepping stones, and not stumbling blocks. Let them be stepping stones to greater things. And so mistakes can be blessings in disguise. Mistakes can teach you things you could not learn otherwise. If you'll take them that way, they can turn into blessings and become stepping stones to greater victory and success than you've had before. So don't get discouraged when you make a mistake, but ask God to help you to turn it into something of worth and value to you. Let's see. All right. I think my time's nearly up, but I do want to cover one or two other quick points, and then we'll let you use your notes, and you can read the rest of those yourself. You need to have the right attitude toward our fellowship. I believe that is imperative, and especially here in North Carolina with the change in leadership. This is important because personal feelings sometimes have to be put aside. We all have to learn that lesson. It's hard to do. Perhaps your desires might be different than the other fellow's desires. And especially this shows up in election of offices and things of that nature. This is true. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to say, what's good for the work of God? I'm going to get in behind it. I'm not going to drag my feet. I love God too much and the cause of God too much to allow that to interfere with what God wants to do in this district. Amen. And that has to be our attitude always, because things do not always go the way we want. They do not. They do not in our church. They do not in our home. Sometimes in our home things go the way we don't like them. And that's the way life is. But we need to learn, Lord, help me to know how to adapt myself to your will and purpose and do my best in the midst of a difficult situation. Praise the Lord. And God will help you do it. I say he'll help you do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So your attitude toward the fellowship, be reliable, be dependable, be cooperative. When you cooperate, they'll cooperate with you. I have seen leaders in the church want everybody to cooperate with their department, but they don't want to cooperate with anybody else. Yeah, we're putting on a dinner here. I want everybody to come to the dinner, but when they put on a dinner, you don't go to their dinner. See? You know, things like that, see. But cooperation is the game that everybody wins. Nobody is a loser in cooperation. When you cooperate, it works good. It comes back to you. It reverts back to yourself. And that needs to be in every aspect of the work of God. And you need to train your people in that area. If you expect loyalty, practice loyalty. Don't be two-faced. Don't be two-faced about it. But practice being loyal. And being two-faced will make you the object of contempt. At the same time, you don't have to say every word that you would like to say. You can keep some things back and hold them back and use Christian courtesy toward your brother. Isn't that right? Christian courtesy toward your brother. You know, we get at home, when we're in our home, we get careless along these lines of being courteous. You know, we right at home with each other, right in our home situation, we let down our hairs, the saying is, and kind of get careless in these areas. We need to learn to have courtesy at home. Train our children how to be courteous and kind one to another. These are things we need to train our churches to, their attitude toward each other, to be that of the right attitude. And simply because they rub shoulders every day with each other doesn't mean they should get careless. They need to be considerate of one another and have that spirit and that attitude. And not because you feel, well, I'm just going to blurt out how I feel. And just, you know, like a chainsaw. I'm going to just go right on my own way. Well, we have to understand that we have to control our spirits and control our tongues and ask God to help us, because we're in this thing together. And it's like the fellas in the boat. Two fellas were in a rowboat, and one was boring a hole in his end of the boat, under his seat. The other fellow said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm doing this under my own seat. It's none of your business." Oh, we're in the same boat, you know. So we do have to work together. And that's what organization is all about. That's why we're in this. Praise the Lord. And you've had such tremendous leadership over the years. And so we need to ask God to help us in our churches to sell them on the idea of working in harmony with one another and with the pastor, and learn how to do this. If you expect loyalty, practice loyalty. Loyalty helps everyone. Loyalty helps everyone. Now, one last thing I wanted to say was that there are personality traits to avoid. And I've listed some in your notes, some personality traits to avoid. And with this, we'll close. You'll notice them at the bottom. I don't know that I put all down that I could put down, but there are some that are particularly prone for ministers to pick up, because they're under strains that nobody else is under, certain situations that nobody else is under, so that they're apt to pick some of these things up. Notice this: fear, harshness, bossiness, criticalness, being constantly critical and cynical, like we mentioned the doctor that forgets people's feelings and so forth. We're apt to forget people's feelings, get kind of cynical and hard and harsh that way, and cynicism and negativeness and copying others. The minister sees somebody successful, he's apt to try to become, see Stone King, for instance, Brother Stone King, God bless him, or Brother Cole, and you see little Coles running around, thin Coles, or Stone Kings that have some hair on them and so forth, you know, running around trying to imitate somebody else. Really, God didn't call you to be an imitator. He called you to be what He can make out of you, what you really are, out of you. You're a unique person. You're a different person, different than anybody else. You're as distinctive as your fingerprints. Nobody is like you, and God has a place for you to fit. Success is in not always being what somebody else is doing. That may be success for him, but success for you is finding the will of God for yourself and fitting into it. That's success, whatever it is. So it may not be the same as the other fellow, but success for you is finding what God wants you to be and developing yourself to be the best there is in that area of life. Amen. Asking God to help you to grow into that place that God is fitting you and preparing you to be. Praise the Lord. So those are things that are important. Copying others, being touchy, easily offended, we've already mentioned that. Being on the defensive, we've already mentioned that. Being impulsive, I've heard preachers that about every 3 or 4 weeks they threaten to quit. If you don't do what I say for you to do, I'm going to not be your pastor anymore. I'm just going to leave you. And things like that. Don't do that. That's cheap. That's not worthy of a minister. If God calls you there, amen. If God called you there, you're there to help those people. In closing, I had a lady come to me one day and say to me, "Brother Gray, I wish you'd get rid of Brother So-and-so out of the church. He embarrasses me. Whenever he gets up to testify, I don't like to even bring anybody to church because I'm afraid he's going to put on his little show, and it's embarrassing." And I said, "Listen, let me tell you two things. Number one is this: as long as God allows him to come, Jesus died for that man. As long as God allows him to come, I'm going to try to work with him and help him until he will not allow me to do it anymore. If I can help him, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to turn him away. I'm not going to kick him out. I know he's embarrassing to you, but I'm going to try to help him as long as God allows him to come. God has put him here. I can't just say, I'm not going to work with him, throw him away. Jesus died for him. Secondly, you may need him more than you think you do. He may be your grace developer. And did you ever stop and think? You may be somebody else's grace developer. Oh, yes. So we have all kinds of people to work with, isn't that right? I mean all kinds. Just all kinds. And sometimes they're difficult. Because we're working with people, and people are so varied and so different from each other. So we have to learn how to love them. We learn have to learn how to help them. We learn have to say, God, help me know how to work with this person and help this person. And ask God to do it, because our business is people. We're in the people business. Amen. And we need to realize that Jesus died for people. Not just the good people, not just the correct people, but the people that are the misfits, the people that are ugly, the people that have bad attitudes. Jesus died for them too. And if God can come into their lives and transform them, and for us to be ministers to help them, that's our job. That's what we need to do. We need to have some patience and understanding that God does not give us a finished product to work with, but we have unfinished products. In fact, as we ourselves are unfinished. I hope God never gets tired of me. I hope He never gets disgusted with me. I want Him to work on me. I don't care what it takes. I want to be like Him. If He has to shake me over hell to make me wake up from what if I'm going wrong. And by the way, I'll tell you this right now. I want to make it to heaven more than anything else in the world. I've got to make it in myself. I can wait. I can try to help others to make it in and lose out myself. I must make it in. And you'll be a friend to me. If you see me doing something wrong, you'll come to me and tell me, because I want to make it in. You'll be a friend to me. I'll not take offense at it. I want you to know that. I would appreciate it if I'm doing something I hadn't ought to do, that somebody comes to me. I hope they do. I hope God deals with me. And if He doesn't, somebody deals with me, because I want to make it in above all. We've got to do that. And then not only save ourselves, but then that hear us. So that's our job. Shall we stand and worship the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Let it dwell richly in our hearts by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Word of the Lord. In Jesus' name. I'll hold you just two or three more minutes, if you'd be seated just for a moment. Brother Fuller has some things he'd like to tell the preachers and their wives about the books. Let me also mention that the local church here has tapes of these sessions. Thursday night, last night.